I'm excited that she was able to kind of do it from before that, and then being a grandmother with toddlers again is going to be fun. She'll have a better perspective now than I do. Pam has been married for 37 years, and she has three adult kids. They're 34, 32, and 29. And Warren is her husband, and he is a great dad. I know Warren, and he learned very early how to balance work and family and fun and marriage. So it'd be great if y'all have a husband like that. But anyway, Pam homeschooled her kids for 12 years. In that period of time, all three of them went to Perimeter School for periods of time. But then at high school, they went to Wesleyan School. And now, like I just said, she's a grandmother. Her daughters had babies six weeks apart, two boys. So how fun is that? And they're both due again.
Six weeks apart, and they'll be two years apart.
Was that planned?
Oh, how do I know? I do not ask about their sex life.
But y'all welcome Pam.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. So my topic is called Mothering on Your Knees, the Controversial Topics. As you can see on your table, there are some sheets that you don't need to read now, and there are some cards, but I just want you to be aware of them. While we're speaking and talking, write down any question you want me to read and talk about at the end of the talk. Totally anonymous, you can ask the most personal or goofy questions. No one's going to know it's you. Vicki will pick them up later. I'm really excited to be here because, frankly, this is my most exciting thing to do. I realized I probably would rather talk to two mothers of preschoolers than my peers, because you are at such a beginning stage of starting your whole life in a new chapter. Gone is your single freedom. Gone is your couple, do everything together whenever you want. And now you're entering a new chapter, which some people think is so hard. But really, it's just different. You've arrived with children who aren't sick, they're dressed, they're fed, and you made it on time. That's a big congratulations. I would love to be at your stage again in some ways, and it's fun to be a grandmother at your stage. I just laugh. I said to my husband, do I love my grandchildren more than my children when they were this age? I think it's because I'm remembering how wonderful it was and how you don't totally appreciate it till it's all over, even when you try because you're so tired. This season of mothering is great, but when you look back 18 years from now, you may say that grade school was your favorite parenting time. My mother loved high schoolers. She just loved having big talks with teenagers. She loved talking about issues and almost full adult questions. What's controversial? We wrote out lists. Vicki gave me a couple topics like sleeping and eating. Other gals gave me topics. Do you realize that every topic in parenting can be controversial? Controversial means publicly intense disagreements and arguments. And if you think about it, that's everything, either between your husband or your friends or that neighbor down the street. What's the way to handle this? There's no specific answer. Here she is, my youngest. Just grab any seat, Sarah. How do we deal with this? We need to learn to be kind. I know you all know how to be kind, but to remember to be kind, to be respectful, even when you know you're right. My goal today is to remind you to teach you to love well. What does that mean? Practicing your listening skills, your gentle questions, not judging others. I think right now in this generation, it's really easy to judge right or wrong. And there's really no exact right to this formula. There's no formula in mothering. The hardest thing you have to do is be a mom. It's the greatest job in the world. It has the most fun, the most joy, but it is the most difficult and exhausting, especially at this stage, because you're never off duty. You don't ever go home from work. I personally would rather be physically exhausted with little ones than academically and emotionally exhausted as your children get older. Those are the big deals. They didn't make the soccer team. They didn't do well in their spelling test. Susie didn't invite me to the birthday party. Just get ready. Imagine this. You were really picked to parent that child. Now, sometimes you're not going to think that was the best pick, but it's a gift and a privilege. Sometimes you'll have a child who's a preemie, which is difficult, or has food allergies, or is strong-willed, or just won't sleep no matter what you try. That's not easy to say, oh, thank you, Lord, for my gift. The other thing to think about with controversial issues is there is no perfect mom. All of us have had challenges and questions and insecurities. Our lives are up and down with things going really well. How many of you already have gotten your children into great schedules? 3 months later, they change. They're not sleeping that nap. They're not eating anymore. They're crying when they didn't used to. That's normal, but our reaction is, oh, rats, what did I do wrong? How do I get them back there? I encourage you to think, what's the next step? Be creative. Assume nothing about anybody's opinion, your child's behavior, your husband's. Just ask questions. All right, right now, as you've all gotten here, we're going to play musical chairs. At one table, I would like all the 0 to 6, I want you to think about the child you want to talk about. If you have one child, that's easy. If you have 2 or 3 children, and how many are pregnant? I know Danielle and Sarah. Okay, you could do, is that 3 or 4 pregnants? You could almost do a pregnancy table. But how many are 0 to 6 month olds? Up high. Okay, how about 0 to 3 month old? Okay, 0 to 3, 1, 2, 3. All the 0 to 3s, please go to the table in the back. Well, not the back. Why don't you all come here? I hate to, everybody's gonna have to stand up. Y'all can just stand up. Let's do the 0 to 3, and if you're pregnant, you can talk about it too. And then 4 months to 9 months, how many do we have? 4 months to 12 months, how many? Keep up, I'm trying to get a whole table. Okay, right here, let's do 4 to 12 months, and we see if we need to add to this. We may need 4 to 14 months. 4 to 16 months? Are you staying because you're 4 too? So is that 5? Okay, we just have 4 here. All right, keep the big ones. Okay, now we have 13 months to 18 months. Are you in the 2 and 3s? So this is 2 threes. Okay, that's 5. And that's 4. All right, I need, how many are left? Okay, I was going to say, why don't you all, Dara, are you going to a newborn, a baby, 0 to 3? Okay, that'd be great. That'd be great. And Sarah, 21 months. Okay, that puts us in 3 tables, right? Which is great. Do you girls want to sit in? Do you want to come sit in? Yeah. You can learn from everybody, and you'll learn a lot. Okay. So now look at your first question of why. We need a leader. Each table, we need 3 leaders that will write down everybody's answers and share it with the other 2 tables. So the first question is, why did you make the effort to even come to Moms Connect? If I had to put money on it, I would say most of you are type A personalities and wanted to learn all you could learn. But throw out all the ideas of why you came to Moms Connect. And as you're doing that, share 1 or 2 things that you have already learned or changed since you heard a speaker. It could be an attitude. It could be a nugget for the future. It could be how you sleep your baby. It could be how you read to them. Share that as a group. And we have about 10 minutes. So enjoy that. Just the first question. That's all.
We talked about wanting to get more involved in the church, being new to the area. I know you're going to talk to my phone. She's just going to eat it. Getting knowledge from other advanced moms, chance like have adult conversation, get out of the house, routines. And then we talked about learning that what we've learned has given us more confidence in being moms and our leadership role in our family and self-esteem and confidence in general and the truth of the identity in Christ.
Thank you. Who's our leader here? Oh, okay.
Okay, our table said that we make an effort to attend Moms Connect to make friends and for the childcare and to learn from other moms and to widen our circle at Perimeter Church. And then we've learned a lot. We've mostly been spiritually encouraged by our role in motherhood and not feeling alone in the challenging moments, and that our experiences are normal and that there are so many different ways to parent and there's not one right way or one wrong way. And we loved learning about just the tradition of the Jesse tree and just some traditions that we can start implementing with our little ones to teach them about Jesus.
Thank you. Good. It's fun to see all the things you've already learned and been thinking about since Mom started. Okay, so this takes us back to Proverbs 24, that through wisdom a house is built, but through understanding it's established. And you're all gaining wisdom and beginning that journey of understanding as you put things into practice. You're in this for the long haul. Parenting is a marathon, and it doesn't end at 18. There's different types. You play a different role with your children along the way, which is why I don't encourage you to aim to be the best friend to your 4 and 5 and 6 year olds. You're still their mamas, and they need that security that you're in charge and you have a plan for them. A common trap with parenting, even with babies, is getting caught by fear. What if I don't do this? What if she cries too long? What if she's hungry? What if? And I want to just remind you that God loves your child even more than you do. He knows that you're the right parent and you will figure it out. I used to ask my mother questions on parenting, and she lived far away, and she'd say, "I know, Pam, you'll figure it out. You and your friends will figure it out and talk to the Lord and you'll know." So I encourage you to keep asking questions, talking about things, and studying your child. Out of fear, do not make decisions. And what are some of those decisions? Can anyone think of some of the fear decisions right now on your lap that you or your friends have been through? How to sleep train. What if, right? If they cry too long or they, there's a lot of sleep-deprived children right now. Anything else? Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. So again, that's a controversial, which we're not even going to touch. But it's true. It is definitely true. How about whether to... Oh, go ahead, Sarah.
Can I put them in the playpen and walk out of the room even if they're screaming, knowing they're safe, but they're unhappy?
Are you a bad mom?
Right. And I have a lot of friends that struggle with that. Can they be left alone if they're unhappy?
Good question. Some people... Okay, this is a question that may be funny, but how many of you have used playpens? I find that you guys don't use playpens. Okay, the older ones, but... or bigger, like a play yard or a pack and play. A place where you would put your child after lunch for 15 minutes while you did the dishes, ate your own lunch, and answered the door. Or a place you put your child if your child knocks over a vase of water with flowers and you can't let him get near the glass and everything's like this. What do you do with your child? So... I encourage you to have something available, especially for these under 2.5-year-olds, 3-year-olds. That's an aside. Here's another thing. How about whether to put your child in 2 or 3-year-old soccer? Most of my friends are. I don't want him to miss out on the fun. What if he won't get to play in high school? You know, ask yourself why. What about going to preschool? Mother's morning out at a year, preschool. I don't really have the money. It's not in our budget. But honey, we have to because everybody else is doing it. Or I need the free time. Believe it or not, you don't have to do preschool till, well, ever really. But you could wait till they're 3 or 4. Just ask yourself why. Is it peer pressure or fear, or you just want to, that might be driving you? Dare to be different. When I told my friends at Perimeter Church that I was going to homeschool, most of them went, "You are crazy, Pam." I was on the board. Warren and I were on the board at Perimeter Christian School, and we had just had our youngest, and the oldest was going to have a first grader and a one-year-old in that carpool from 9 to 12, the 9 o'clock and the 12. And I just started thinking, why am I putting my older children through this? And then the satellite program was started where we had a homeschool program out of Perimeter School, and I decided to do that. And it was the best thing for our family, but I had to dare to be different because that meant I couldn't play tennis, I couldn't do lunches, I couldn't do a lot of the things my friends were doing. And there's a whole story with that. But trust God to guide you, and it's okay to ask for how you can be different. As we dig into some of the controversial topics, think about in your mind where you fit. Are you a very structured, by the book, have to do it this way? Or are you a very easy, go with the flow, spontaneous person? And how is that impacting your parenting and your judging how others are doing this mommy thing? Is there a benefit to becoming a little more relaxed and a little more structured so that you're more in this flexible mode based on your children and your family? What do you do when your friends or neighbors disagree with what you're doing, or you notice that they're doing something you don't really think is good? Think about that mind adjustment, because this takes us back to controversial issues. You all are going to be with friends, neighbors, family, who won't approve of what you're doing. What's your attitude going to be in that? Are you going to learn to listen to them and ask them what they're thinking and why they're concerned and why they disagree? Or are you going to put your foot down and have a fit and walk off? Instead of immediately judging, will you ask why? Instead of criticizing, will you encourage? How about if you're having a bad week or month, are you going to have the courage to ask somebody how to do something or what works for them and be able to take advice without getting your feelings hurt? What if somebody has heard what you've been going through and offers you a book? Will you take that as an insult, an offense, or will you see that she loves you enough to give you something to think about and pray about? That's important. I don't know how I would have done mothering without asking questions and having mothers give me all kinds of ideas. I didn't do everything, but it got me thinking about my own family. At this point, you're all the older women in the Titus chapter. You're all there to help and train the younger women, because if you have a 6-month-old, you can encourage a 3-month-old mom. If you're a 3-year-old mom, you can encourage a 2-year-old mom. You're not here right now on earth to just take. You're also here to give. You're in the journey of motherhood, and we're all on the same team, on the same path. So again, learning to listen, ask good questions, give thoughtful advice, and being available, even if your dishes are in the sink and your beds are unmade. What if a friend calls because they need to come over with their child and talk? Will you be willing to say, "Sure, come on in," thinking my kitchen is a mess? You know, that's important. It's how real, honest friendships are built. Let's go to topic question number 2, which is share your mommy testimony. This is another way to get to know each other. Where are you from? And at the end, share one tip that makes your day run smoothly. Can be anything. All right. Go. You have 10 or 12 minutes.
I don't know if these are novel or not, but feet off the floor was new for me. Instead of nap time, just feet off the floor. This one's challenging. Getting up before your kids in the morning. And then this one's good, making lunch the night before.
All very good practical tips. So you're saying even if your child is not sleeping at nap time anymore, they have rest time.
Exactly.
All by themselves. Mm-hmm. And I know this table said learning to get up ahead of your children. Mm-hmm. So those are not going to end even at 5 and 10. You'll be doing those things forever. Hopefully. Okay, the table over here, who is the leader? Another Sarah. Sure. All right. Do you have any sweet things to share at this age?
We had a lot of sweet things.
Oh, share the sweet things.
For the two-year-olds.
Share the sweet things.
Pretend play. Watching them pretend play. Trying new things. Going on buddy adventures. Like, I want to go get coffee. So we're going to get coffee.
Adventure.
And snuggles. They give such good snuggles. When they snuggle.
When they decide.
Yeah. Should I give tips or no?
Yeah, and the tips.
Tips. Margin for your family. Alone time for you and the babies, babysitters, find time to exercise, naps, obviously, and rest time, and prepare ahead.
That's a theme that's throughout the tables, preparing ahead. All right, over here, I guess. Thank you, Emily.
Some of the tips, we are the 0 to 6 month group, or 0 to 9 month group, and some of the tips, we talked about having a calendar for your family and marking things down, you know, getting into a routine, and like being positive and being able to see everything in a positive light. Was there anything else sweet?
No, do you have any, did you talk about sweet things?
And then cleaning things and, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, so the sweet things is like seeing their smiles and they're just starting to like giggle and laugh, and my son's putting his toes in his mouth and just,
that's great.
You know, rubbing that flexibility in my face.
Yes.
So funny. And
That's great.
I think that's it.
That's great. And last, the women who are just starting to do the things that you all have figured out.
So sweet things. We're in the stage where we just stare at our baby a lot. And I guess smiling, it's fun that we can provide what they need right now in that stage. And some of us have more than one child, and seeing the interactions between their kids and seeing older children in the 2 and 3 year old stage learning how to talk and that kind of thing. Tips for making our day run smoothly. I think just being intentional with planning ahead. So we talked about like preparing meals ahead of time, or even just prepping for meals, trying to make dinner in advance, and then just planning extra time to get out the door. And that involves waking up earlier.
And, which they all did not really like.
Yeah. And then I guess just tag teaming with your husband, and making time for, or I guess making a routine so your morning starts off easy.
Great. Thank you. All right. Let's talk about a couple of these topics of controversy. Sleep scheduling. This is the big hot one, one of the big hot ones. It's a tough one. And you know there is no exact right answer. Isn't that disappointing? Now, I understand that 99% of pediatricians are telling you what the exact answer is, but not every child will sleep with that advice. So I think the new advice of no bumper pads is sad because they're so cute in that nursery. And I think all those no blankets and stuffed animals is sad because that's such a great picture with the baby in there. Who's the baby? Who's the stuffed animal? But, you know, it makes sense. It takes one less thing off your plate for responsibility with babies sleeping well. I do love the fact of a tight sheet, even over a towel, which is over a bed pad, so your child has extra breathing and absorption and sweating room. But everything's tight. There's nothing that their faces can get in close to. And then some of you swaddle, some of you don't. I know swaddling is very important when you sleep on their back, but it's also helpful for a while on their tummies. This is the one you have to go with your gut, go with the advice, go with the books, go with the blogs, and then look and say to your husband, they are not sleeping 6 hours. They are 2 months old, and they're not even sleeping 6 or 7 hours. They're miserable. So you might try the other option and just see how it goes. It's a hard one. Our generation did not have this dilemma. And it might sound harsh, but the bottom line is we are not God. We do not know which child will have a major event. They could be in their car seat. You could be holding them. They could be playing on the floor. We do the best we can and trust that God's in control. He's given you wisdom, and you will do the best you can for that child. No two moms are alike, and no two children are alike. They'll have different habits. I have two daughters who had babies within 6 weeks. They both are working more on the structure plan side. They both are following similar plans, similar feeding, playtime. But as we mentioned at the first table, one day or 1 week goes perfectly, and the next week, one child doesn't do what the other one's doing. So as their children get older and our families grow, you're going to have greater differences between you and your friend and your children. So give each other grace. Know that your children are not robots. This is fun. It's discovery. It's an adventure. You're going on an adventure every day with your child. Some of you can handle the crying more than the other. If some of you really can't take crying and fussy and it's getting to you, please call somebody. Call a friend to come over. Call an older woman. Call me. Call a woman on the team. Figure out how to get outside for a 20-minute walk. Please don't be afraid to ask. One of my girlfriends who is a wife of a pastor of my generation said, Pam, we never knew you all were getting together. We didn't think we need to go to that little once a month mom's event at night to ask questions. We thought we were supposed to know it all because we were pastor wives. And I guess now there's two or three that have confessed that to me and said, why weren't we part of all this? And they said, life was so much more difficult without a support group and where we could talk and say, what are we doing? They're throwing food off the high chair. So don't be one of those who doesn't think you should ask because you should know it all. There's no right or wrong. And Sarah reminded me that one of the gals who came to speak to my D group was one of my babysitters. And she said, make your decisions based on what brings your family and home peace. That's going to be different stages. And that stuck with Sarah. And I thought that really went along with controversy. Forget the controversy. What are you and your husband going to decide for your family? We have front sleeping, back sleeping, side sleeping, whether to keep your child in the nursery, in your bed, or in a bed in your master. Again, ask your husband, ladies. It's not just about you. You may think, oh, the first couple days we're kind of afraid, so we want to keep him in our room. But then after 2 weeks, maybe y'all as adults aren't even sleeping and he's not sleeping and he's the one still going to work, or you're the one going to work. Try to create an environment where even if he has to go to another room or you and the baby go, be creative to get the person who's walking out the door to work to get the most sleep. Maybe both of you are walking out the door. How are you going to pull this off? It's really mom and dad, believe it or not, are more important than baby in terms of decision making. You are the team and the leaders. Baby needs to learn how to live in your house. Think about the changes you need to make if sleeping is not going well, and how are you going to do it? Get the resources. Here's another thing that a grandmother shared with me, that her daughter-in-law and their friends don't have good sleepers. And she said, they are so into their schedules that they wake that baby up at 10:59 every day, no matter if they went to sleep at 9, 9:30, or 10:20. So the poor child, you know, they have sleep cycles every 30 and 90 minutes. You're teaching them how to soothe themselves to go back to sleep. Well, if they're always broken their cycle, they're not going to learn it. So give them at least one stretch where they can sleep it out. And you'll figure out what part of the day it is for what age and stage, but we may be teaching our children how to break up their sleep and not be good sleepers. And I hadn't thought about that because my family always loves to sleep no matter what, but other families know. Study your child, be creative. The second thing is feeding. You know the best moms give all organic food, right? And they grow it in the garden. You're right. And they can it all. Right. Now, ideally, that would be so much fun. That was one of the things my husband did. He had a garden, which was a cute garden, but he would come home from work and the kids would run out with him to check the garden. There might be weeds, the tomatoes might look like this, but he actually grew enough that your children could pull carrots. Now, I don't say that we ate them, but they pulled them. They had so much fun. And I'm trying to get a garden going at my house now for the grand boys and my husband because he's been wanting one. And the sun has been my issue. But even herbs, I'd love blueberries. But think about it. Gardening your own really is an activity for daddy to enjoy with them after work. I do love the fact that there are organic foods. There are foods that we really, if we can possibly afford it, sometimes it's not that big of a difference in price, that are important. You know, you can pull up the 10 or 12 foods with the most pesticides on them. The rest of it, wash it. Apples, believe it or not, 45 pesticides. Strawberries, 40. Grapes, 50. Celery, 60. But you can bag celery. Peaches, spinach, healthy, 50, usually 50 pesticides. Go through that list and think about what you want to feed your child. And maybe those three or four things you buy organic. And buy frozen. Don't forget that frozen food is often less expensive, but it's just as good. Are you intentional about getting vegetables? These 2 and 3-year-old moms, how are you getting vegetables into your child? Best way ever, spaghetti sauce. Puree 2 vegetables into that. And still do it now. Your husband, that's a great way to get your husbands to get more veggies too. Carrots, they never notice. You can throw in broccoli or green beans too. Avoid gluten and dairy. I have had children that we've discovered had great food sensitivities. And I actually, looking back, think my mother did too. And I probably have some, but I don't get the reactions that my children do. So gluten and dairy are two of the first most common sensitivities. I know peanuts is what we talk about. Everything is about peanuts. But I fed my children the healthy snacks of cheese and yogurt. Then I find out that one of mine is totally, totally allergic to milk and dairy and cheese. So I had raised a child who had a stomach ache for years. And I feel terrible to this day about it. But we didn't talk about these things. You are also fortunate you're aware of this stuff. And you don't need to test them with all the medical shots and tests. You can just do a test at home and take it out of your diet. Water, best thing ever for children. Going from your formula or nursing or milk to water. And then when they're sick, yes, you sometimes want to put some apple juice in there or coconut water to be sure they're drinking it. But they will learn to love water, especially in cool different cups. The other big monster to think about is sugar. How many times do we want to give them a cookie or a cracker or candy, or we go to parties and ice cream? Confession, I love sugar. If I eat it, I want more. If your child gets one, he wants another. Unless we eliminate it, even Monday through Friday, maybe the family doesn't have dessert and it's a treat on the weekends. But keep that in your mind, because as they get, you're developing a child's tastes. If you don't develop sugar, that won't be such a battle. Dr. Denmark, there's a book about Dr. Denmark if anyone's interested, but she was the first female pediatrician or doctor in Georgia and possibly the Southeast. She practiced for 73 years, and I had the privilege of going to her farmhouse and sitting on the porch with my kids and hearing her talk her common sense. She retired at 103 years of age, died at 114, and didn't have sugar after her 40th birthday cake. She taught us to make pureed vegetables and meat and fruit and to let our babies learn to spoon that. Let's see. Another good place to start healthy habits with it is with exposure to all foods. Lay out different vegetables that you and your husband are eating. Now, I don't do this at 6 or 9 months, but after 18 or months or so, after they've got their purees and got their systems, you can play with that. Planning food requires your budget, the time available to cook and garden, and any medical issues. Now, commercially prepared food is a gift. It's great for trips, parks, when you've run out of food. Keep a stash of that. But to use it for your only food might not be the best thing for your child, especially if they have sensitivities. Just be aware of it. Now, let's go to question number 3. This is on spiritual issues because I know life has changed and it's hard to have quiet time. It's hard to have go to Bible study or discipleship groups. But just share how you've managed it. It may be a 3-minute prayer in the shower some days. It may be nap time the first thing you do. And even now you think you're the busiest ever and it's hardest. It's not any easier for me in a empty nest home. There's a million things I see that need to be done. So just try to share some of those things of what you're thinking about doing for your children, exposing them to Jesus and the gospel, and yourself. And let's see how much time we have. Oh, it's already 11:15. We have about 5 minutes for that. This will be a quick one, guys, because I want to have time. Are there any questions that you've written out? Do we need questions at the end, or are you all covered? You want to do some questions at the end and just not do cards, just raise hands? I don't mind. If you want to write out your cards, do it. You can write them out. Okay, then we'll do a quick spiritual thing on what you're thinking about with your children and then what you're doing to adjust, and then we'll end. I'll just do a 5-minute buzzer right here.
Praying out loud. Praying out loud through the day with your kids around. So, oh, do you thank you, Lord, for creating these trees. Aren't you glad you have 20 sticks to play with?
Yes. Yes, God, who made these, right? Great. And this table with your older ones?
We talked about using music and CDs through the day, yes, with kids. So we talked about 2 different resources. One is called Ask Me Who, and it's the children's catechism set to music.
Great.
And then Seeds Family Worship is another one that sings scripture. And so we were talking about it encourages us, helps us memorize catechisms and scripture, but also then our kids know it.
Okay, do y'all want to write that down? Say that again, Kelsey. Ask
Me Who with 2 O's.
Like 4 O's.
4 O's, a lot of O's. And that's the catechism. And then, that they learn some here. And then Seeds Family Worship.
Seeds is it?
S-E-E-D-S. Okay. Yeah. They're great. Just singing scripture.
Yeah, that's, they will remember that.
They're in the bookstore here.
Oh, great. They're in the bookstore. Good plug.
And the really old school one is the Steve Green kind of
thing. Yeah. I was going to say, I've got a few others. Great. Thank you. Okay. 2 more things. The other controversy is toy and device issues, which Dara brought up. My mind just goes immediately to, we use devices because we haven't planned ahead. So are you your generation is so distracted by devices. That means that you're not doing something with your children that used to be done with children before devices. What would that be? That means your kids are not learning to play alone or creatively if they are with mommy's phone or their own devices. Do you want their brains to skip that creative time of playing in the dirt, picking up sticks, being alone with blocks, cooking with mommy? Do you want your child to think that mommies just have a phone? That's a scary thing for us to look at you all. Can you put your phone down when your child's awake before his morning nap? What's going to happen? You miss a girlfriend's text, but she shouldn't be on her phone either. You know, say that you all say, we'll talk when they go to naps. We had 20-foot cords, which we would take into our laundry room or to the sink. And that was a 3-minute conversation of where to meet. And we would talk during nap time. But these devices are going to become the main thing your children see you doing every day. So really consider that. Children love routines. Even when you are spontaneous, if you can pull into a routine, that will be the best thing in the world. Their wake up, their dress, their eat, their chores, their slow down, their playpen time, whatever that is, as they get older, becomes more helping you. Lunch, books, nap, outside play, baths, dinner, daddy, books, bed, prayer bed. They will love knowing what comes next. Sunday nights, big thing I always share, sit down with your hubbies, see how his week looks, how your week looks, what can you do to help each other, what's going on, do we need a sitter, do we need to buy something we've run out of, you go through your plans for dinners, make that Sunday night really important, and plan those quiet times for you and your child, even if they don't nap, put them in the bed at least for an hour. Because you are on duty 24/7. In Deuteronomy, you shall teach them the commandments diligently. Talk of them when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you get up. This is a constant for y'all. The other controversial thing is balance. Does your husband have a life, or is it work and coming home to you to take the child? Do you have a life? Are you ever outside away from your child or your husband? And together, do you have a life as a couple away from your child? Those are important things to discuss, how your husband is now feeling about it with a six-week-old, a nine-month-old, a 22-month-old, a three-year-old. They're going to have different expectations, and sometimes husbands will say something you won't like. What will your response be? You don't understand, honey. It's hard being home with the kids all day. They can't live without me. And he needs your time, undivided attention. You've got to get creative and figure it out. Listen to him. I know my husband, the first thing he told me after my firstborn was, and after a couple months, Pam, I need to take the checkbook from you. I balanced to the penny. He did not. I wanted to keep that checkbook. But you know what? Looking back, that was one less thing I had to do with three children and homeschooling and all the busyness as we went forward. So let your husband pour into you advice. It's important to listen to him. This is a wonderful stage in your marriage. Life is different. You're not single, you're not married, as I said before, but you have the blessing of a partner to do life with. You're both dying to self and hopefully not getting everything you want when you want it. You're growing up, I hate to say it. And your discussions with your husband may create tension. Learn to give in to the things that really are not important for you and are important for him, and be patient. Let's see. The controversial topics are here to stay. You can learn to love well, build self-safe friendships, and decide what brings peace to your family. Okay, questions. We have about 5 minutes. I did not get any questions on cards, so if you want to raise your hands, or if everything's great, you all have plenty to talk about during nap time.
My biggest thing, and I'm probably kind of unique, is getting with the grandkids, is getting them to go eat with their parents, having time with their parents for meals instead of coming over to our house. Any ideas about how I feel real strongly that that should be your family, your nurturing time with your family, and they shouldn't be coming to our house to eat all the time at supper?
Well, that's a question outside of the conversation, but I would just issue them out the door and lock it. There's no discussion on that.
If you could recommend two books for us at any stage to read, what would you say?
Oh, I didn't prepare for that one.
You shall know.
You know what I'm reading with delight, and I just read it for the first time when Courtney had the baby. This is not a Christian book, but it's called Bringing Up Baby. And it made me laugh so much, and it made me think about how ridiculous American mamas can be and how delightful it is to learn about the pause and letting your child soothe himself to sleep and exposing them to food. So that's a very fun book to read. I really liked Don't Make Me Count to Three in terms of training and discipling. Read Shepherding Your Child's Heart and for the big picture, and then read Don't Make Me Count to Three for the practical of training. Those are two fun ones. I'm thrilled to know somebody knew about baby. Any other questions? It's great to see you all and to be with you all. And I hope you have a great week and you put those phones away a little bit more than you did last week.
Y'all, thank you for being here. Thank you, Pam.
Oh, you're welcome.
This is a great morning. I will say, you know, when she was talking about routine in a family, when my oldest was two, and he's very, I mean, he did like things to be the same, but I didn't realize it as much till one morning I got up and we were in a hurry to get out the door, and we lived in Dothan, Alabama, so it didn't take long to get anywhere, but we were still in a hurry to get out the door. And so I was saying, okay, we're going to get dressed, and then we're going to actually eat breakfast in the car, and blah, 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 blah. And he just froze. And I said, come on, we're going to get dressed. We're going to eat breakfast in the car. I eat breakfast in my pajamas. And I said, but today we're going to change it. I eat breakfast in my pajamas. And I said, but it's going to be different. I eat breakfast in my pajamas. I eat breakfast in my pajamas. He just came undone because breakfast was usually, we got up, we went downstairs. It was quiet. It was peaceful. And I realized from that day on, if I told him the night before the change for the morning, he's fine. But if I sprung it on him when he got out of the bed, he needed to know. And I mean, till he was in high school, if something was going to be different, the next day, I just need to go, hey, by the way, tomorrow, this and this and this is happening. Okay.
And that's an example of studying your child. I like to tell my children what they were doing, but once in a while, there's a child who doesn't want to know ahead. It gets them nervous. So if your child doesn't want to know, you tell them in the morning.
Right.
So it's so fun to figure it out.
And my youngest was the complete opposite. He didn't care. He would just, whatever. And he'd stay in his pajamas and get in the car and eat. He wouldn't care. So anyway, it is fun to watch your kids grow and develop their personality and figure them out. And when you have more than one, they're all different. So it keeps us on our knees and on our toes. Quick announcements. Don't come next week because it's Thanksgiving. We will be in here the following November 30th. And Sam Rhodes is going to talk about keeping your marriage first, not making a child-centered home. And then in December, we will do our cookie decorating that first week in December with the kids. First, you'll put them in childcare. We'll get ready up here, and then you'll go get them. And we're going to talk about serving with your kids. And decorating cookies and sharing them with the neighbor is a great thing to do. So let me pray,
Thank you. Y'all
can chat and go get your kiddos. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this time together. Thank you for the wisdom that you've given Pam, God, as she has raised her kids and is stepping into being a part of her grandchildren's lives. Father, I pray for each woman in this room that you would walk alongside them, that you would be the one that encourages their hearts the most in being a mom. God, would each woman leave today knowing what an important role they play in their child's life. And God, would you increase their capacity, increase their patience, teach them more about you in their parenting. And God, I just pray for protection over their hearts as they parent these little ones, God, and give them all wisdom and insight into each of their children's lives and hearts. And God, would this be a safe place for them? And would community grow out of this Moms Connect group, Father? And I just thank you for the time that we have together every Thursday morning. Lord, be with us for the rest of the day. And we just look forward to celebrating Thanksgiving next week. And so thankful for these families and for all you've done in our lives. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
One more announcement. In January, Wisdom for Wives starts. It's a great night out, by the way, if you can arrange childcare. It's only 8 weeks. And if you all signed up, you could be in groups together, I'm sure. If you wrote Moms Connect, they could put 3 or 4 of you in groups and meet more mothers of young children. It's a great course, so I highly recommend it.